Get up with Annie and Ando, only on Joy.
This morning we're talking about nurses, and we're celebrating the good, the bad, and the amazing.
Mm. Have you had any experiences with nurses?
Fortunately, I haven't been to hospital too often, and so the nurses... I do remember when I had my tonsils out.
Oh, yes, your famous tonsils that you took in your backpack to school,
and the jar broke, and it leaked everywhere, and it smelt really bad. Yes, well, but more, I do remember feeling so alone, that moment just where they give you the gown and say, go put this on, darling. Mum wasn't there and I was all by myself, and one nurse came in and she said, are you all right? And I didn't want to cry. Like, I was young. I didn't want to cry and I was scared. And she just rubbed my hand and said, and it was the way, there was just a real strength in her language. And she probably, I can't even remember what she said. It would have been, it'll be all right, darling. You're okay. We're all here, you know, or something. But it was how she said it that just made me feel so safe.
That's beautiful. You're making me tear up over some tonsils.
But what about you?
That reminds me of a nurse that I still remember to this day. When I was a teenager, I had this accident, so I was hospitalized for 2 weeks with burns. And I also was separated from my family. They couldn't be there every day. So the nurses were the people you got to know super well.
Yeah.
And there was one particular nurse that I'll never forget. Her name was Chantelle, and she was so lovely, treated me like more than a patient. She even gave me lovely soaps that she had gotten from overseas that a friend had gave her. They were gifts for her, and she gave them on to me.
She was allergic to them and just getting rid of them?
No,
oh,
no. Because we just had a really lovely bond.
Are they allowed to give gifts to patients?
Well, see, because there were soaps, it was like my favourite time of the day. I could have a sponge bath with the soaps and the nurses were...
Was she sponge bath? Oh, yeah, because with burns on your body, yuck.
Yeah,
was that painful for
it
you?
It was very painful. You have to have your dressings changed every few hours.
Did they give you morphine and laughing gas before they touched
you?
Yeah,
but I'm allergic to morphine.
Are you?
I have a really bad reaction. Like, it's a sensitivity, so I just throw up everywhere, get very nauseous. So, not fun, but all of the strong pain killers and all of that. So I also didn't have vision in my left eye, so I was bored as all hell. So having nurses to chat to was like the best time of the day.
What do you think if I was to get Chantelle on the
would be too much, but I did think that I loved her so much I thought about naming a kid after her, but then I thought,
please don't.
I thought, when you think about it, it sounds like she could be one of the siblings of Chappelle Corby. Chantelle, Chappelle and Mercedes.
Mercedes, Corby, get your backside in here now.
So I've changed my mind.
Oh, no. That's beautiful, though. But what do you think she'd say about you if I said, what was that patient Annie Louie like?
I think she would remember me.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
You know, well, it's kind of crazy, but they couldn't even tell I was an Asian person because I was so...
because of the damage to your skin.
Yes.
I thought they were homogenising race.
No. For once, I was like, they actually couldn't see race. So that's a good thing. But I hope she remembers me. Shout out, Chantelle. Don't even know your surname, but God bless.
What hospital?
Epping.
Epping.
Yes.
Eppinga.
Yeah. Oh, out in the Pinga.
Hey, coming up, we've got a beautiful interview with Georgie Carroll, the funny woman all over our TV screens and the internet.
Cracking you up at the crack of dawn. It's Annie and Ando on Joy 94.9.
Join us every week for Checkpoint, your weekly update for video game news, reviews, interviews, and more. With coverage of all the latest major releases and hard-hitting discussions, Checkpoint is all about keeping you up to date while breaking down one of the most popular and constantly evolving medias in the world from a queer perspective.
Already soured the show. We're 6 minutes in.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no. There's nothing suspect about what you just said at all.
Checkpoint, giving a one-up to diversity in gaming every Saturday at 2 p.m. on Joy. Hadouken!
Ellen Ross has been serving a cafe latte to Joy listeners since 1997. Join him every Sunday morning from 11 for a unique blend of new releases and LGBTIQ icons. Then, in the second hour of the show, soul and rhythm and blues. Cafe Latte, 11 a.m. Sundays on Joy 94.9.
Get up with Annie and Ando, only on Joy.
We are about to be joined by one of the funniest and most famous nurses in Australia. It is comedian from Manchester, England. And whenever we say Manchester, we can't stop making an accent out of it. Manchester. The one, the only, Georgie Carroll from Manchester.
From Manchester. Hey, good day, Annie, Ando. Ando, what was that accent? Do it again.
Manchester.
Oh, God. Is that anything close?
I don't know. I don't think that place even exists. Is it Narnia?
Polynesian Islands or
somewhere.
This morning we're talking about, and we're doing a big high five to all the nurses. Now, nurses have really, I guess, with the whole pandemic thingy, frontline workers are being, you know, held up and said, you're doing an amazing job. We think nurses do a freaking amazing job day in, day out, all year round.
That's exactly what happens. We're never not on fire. But we love the praise. We love the praise. We get it in exchange for decent pay and safe working environment. That's what we get.
Speaking of, you've just returned to nursing. The comedy was blowing up, but now you've switched sides and you're getting the praise from all sides because now everyone thinks you're a hero.
I know. I used to be important and now I'm just essential. That's what's happened. So I used to be out on the road doing all the gigs, feeling quite important, and now I'm back in the hospital. But I like the nursing. I hate having a boss. I hate having it because I've worked for myself for like 2 years and now I get pulled in an office every now and again and they go, okay, can we just have a word? We don't do that here, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm back on, out in the community.
Is your boss like one of those matrons on those TV shows that I imagine?
So the person that is your boss is usually quite nice. It's the boss above them that's a bit of an arse.
There was a guy at my work who also went back to having a boss after being his own boss, and the first day he said to me, he's like, that guy is not my boss and will never be my boss. And I was like, whoa,
that's exactly how I feel.
What's going on in your head?
Yes, that's exactly what goes on. So
when it comes to nursing, is there a funny story that you can share that doesn't obviously put you in a position of breaching confidentiality?
Oh, people always like to know these stories. People always want to know, like, the stupidest thing a patient said or anything. That's quite hard. The weirdest thing I ever had was the weirdest question. It doesn't make sense when you just ask a question. The question was, are you not the Avon lady? So that's... And it happened because I...
I can be if you want me to be.
It was because I turned up at this bloke's house as a nurse.
All right.
So I'm going to check on him. He's got a catheter, which is a pee pipe. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they're held in place by a balloon, which sits on the base of his bladder. So I turn up at this man's door. Now, men, more often than you would believe, answer the door in just underpants. Like, I don't know. Women would never answer the door in just knickers, but it happens with men a lot. Anyway, so he answered, and he's just like in agony with this catheter. And so I said, oh, I can help you with that. And then he said, come through here. We went back into the bedroom. He pulled his pants down. I'm sorting out this catheter. And then when I'd finished, and it's like instant relief because it feels like you don't need to wee anymore, he just went, oh, thanks. I couldn't wait for the nurse. And I was like, who do you think I am?
Oh, my gosh.
And he was like, are you not the Avon lady? And
that's,
I'm like,
incredible.
You literally let the Avon lady just take you in your bedroom and take your pants off.
You should have just started rifling through your bag to see what products you could sell him.
I sold him some NHS moisturiser. Yes.
Lucky you didn't have your Domino's pizza box with you.
I know.
We are talking to comedian and nurse Georgie Carroll, living over in South Australia now. What's it been like over there?
Oh, we're thinking of you guys. You're Melbourne, aren't you? And, you know, bless you. Thank you for the sacrifices you're all making. We do appreciate it. So, no, it's pretty easy. We're just not allowed to stand up in a pub or dance at a wedding, I think, now. Mind you, we've got the payoff of, like, the rest of the decade. We don't have anything else to do. it's such poor form that the state that has everything to do isn't allowed to do anything.
But you've got churches and parks or something, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't tend to hang around in either. either of those places, Ando. It's not.
Yeah. So you just reminded me, you haven't had any cases of COVID, so you're getting all the glory for actually doing nothing COVID-related.
Yeah, well, I've not met a COVID yet. That's so awful, isn't it? So, like, in nursing terms...
Is that what you call them in
No! Case? Well, when I've met one, I will know what we would call them, but I haven't had...
Sir or ma'am?
Yes, probably just by their names, but...
Start screaming, oh, my God, a COVID!
I know. It will be awful if I write a nursing show next year and I don't have a COVID story. Like, I just... Literally, I'm so far from the front line. If the intensive care of the Royal Melbourne is the front line, I am fully at the back line looking at leg ulcers in country towns of South Australia. I'm like the dad's army rather than the SAS in this fight.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't laughed this hard for so long.
That's sad. I'm on the program every day.
Oh, sorry. If you were to give a COVID case, you know how in hospitals they have like code brown, code blue?
Code brown, code COVID, code cough,
what
code...
What colours are left?
Oh, I don't know, man. Well, national emergency or whatever, not whatever it's called, like if there's a shooter or a bomb, that's a purple. That's pretty full on, isn't it?
Full on, yeah.
Do you know we had a bomb threat when I worked in England? We had this bomb threat.
Oh my gosh!
It was this tiny little hospital I worked in, right? And our unit was getting shut down. And somebody rang up, and we were daring each other that day on the unit to answer the phone in Scottish. So all the nurses said, so like, hello there, can I help you? Intensive care or still infirmary? So, like, everybody, because there's so many different accents that everybody was, like, you had Indian people trying to be Scottish, it was just great, right? And so it turned out that we answered the phone to the bomber in a Scottish accent, right?
And you were like, are you not the airborne lady?
it's like... Hello, yeah, Roy Steele and Tony, can I help you? And he went, there's a bomb on the unit, right? So it was my friend, Bev, who answered. So then she suddenly lost the Scottish accent. But she was like, OK, there's a bomb on the unit. So then we're all looking at her. And then the next question was, because we pointed at the thing that says what you've got to do next, which is do not put down the phone, keep them talking. And her first question was, are you sure you've got the right unit? Why would anyone want to blow up our unit? Like, because it was so shit in the first place. It was such a crappy little unit.
Why us?
Yes.
It all worked out then. There was...
Well, yeah, because we rang... Cause it was about the time of the shoe bomber. I don't know if you remember the shoe bomber. But the shoe bomber, it was like... Google him. Sassy. He put explosive in his heels and then got taken down by other passengers because, I don't know, he's just forgot to set it off or something. But it was a shoe bomber. So when we rang the executives to say we've had a bomb threat, they were like, oh, perhaps don't let people on in their shoes. That was their only...
method of protection.
Yeah, that was it. They clearly didn't care. Nothing happened. Well, they've got different ways of venting now, people. They just go on Facebook and rate us badly rather than ringing us and saying they're going to blow us up. So, yeah, that's how
speaking of ratings,
people vent. Yes.
When it comes to your amazing podcast.
Oh, yeah, the swab.
It's rating its pants off at the moment. Well done.
Yeah, well, I've just been chatting to somebody you're going to chat to, haven't you? You're talking to Drew soon.
Yeah, you've given us a recommendation of someone we would love to speak about who wants to work with the trans community. So we're going to speak to Drew after this. Tell us, where can we find you on the socials and the podcast?
Well, just at the minute, I would say you go to The Swab. The Swab podcast, which is cool. Nurses' backstories. Fuck, we have good stories. And then the other place would be... Oh, I'm writing a book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got a book deal. Like, it was due. I was meant to have 70,000 words by the 1st of September. I have 30,000 words at this point.
Oh, you can do it.
I reckon I can.
Yeah. Milk it. You've got so many great stories just from this interview. Oh, if you need a ghostwriter, I'm here for it.
Oh, bless you, mate. Bless you, Annie.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Okay,
thanks,
guys.
When you're in Melbourne and we can hug, we'll give you a big hug.
Oh, you've always backed me. You've always backed me from the beginning, you guys, so thank you.
Up early? Annie and Ando are up with you too. 6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
This morning we are saluting the nurses
of the world.
We just chatted to nurse and comedian Georgie Carroll. I can't believe we got the privilege. She's so funny.
There are a few lines that we needed to chop. I do need to just say that. She is one of the
cuss words.
I love that accent. I was while we were listening to it, I was saying I could imagine being in hospital and she walks into your ward and just goes, "Morning, my love."
Yes.
And suddenly you just, "I'm from Manchester." And suddenly you just feel better.
Makes me want to watch some episodes of Postman Pat. Maybe that's
Does she know Pat?
Who's just Pat? Like the English TV show for kids that is a postman and they've got the same kind of accent. I don't know where it's from.
I've not seen it.
I would like to put a would you rather question to you, Andrew. Would you rather give a sponge bath or receive a sponge bath?
Do I have any say in who the other participant is?
No.
None.
Could be anyone. They might not be qualified even.
Oh, so you're just going to grab that guy that was sleeping in the foyer of our building this morning and say, "Hey, my co-host needs a push."
Yeah, I'll spin a wheel and it could be anybody.
I have personal space issues. Like, and no, I'm serious. Yeah. So
you were pre-social distancing. You were like, "Get away from me."
Depends. If you're a hot rugby player and you want to rub my shoulders, then go ahead. Mm-hmm. But if you're my co-host and just a bit touchy, then
I'm not.
Or lean over me or, I think I would rather give the sponge bath so that I'm managing the contact, not them.
Ah, so they have to stay firmly in the tub and you can walk away anytime you want.
Well, they're not in the tub normally.
Or in the shower.
In a bed.
Or sitting on a chair.
In a bed, because that's, if I can get it to the tub, I can spray myself. What about you?
I would rather receive the sponge bath.
Receive?
Yes.
Sit back.
Because you were worried.
A la starfish.
Because you're worried that person giving you the bath is dirty. You were worried, wow, what if they smell and all of that?
Yeah.
But at least I know that I'm clean, and I'm the one, I'm clean, I'm being bathed.
But if they were dirty touching you.
I can close my eyes. I'll go to a happy place. Put a candle on or something.
I don't think when they're giving sponge baths, they actually go, "Oh, let me put some Barry White on."
Yes.
And light a few tea lights, IKEA tea lights.
In the hospital.
I set them as the oxygen goes off.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, imagine getting a sponge bath from something like this, Annie Louie. Does this bring back any memories?
Yes, brings back memories for researching my show this year because it had a bit of a Kill Bill-like theme.
You had the jumpsuit, didn't you? You have the jumpsuit, don't you?
The matching tracksuit that Uma Thurman wears.
Uma Thurman,
the famous motorcycle. Mine cost about thousands of dollars less, though. But
is it leather or vinyl?
Oh, it's just polyester, mate.
Oh, it's poly. So if I think it was Ali Driver in Kill Bill, that's this famous scene walking down
Elle
the corridor
Driver,
whistling
according
this tune.
To my notes. Yep. Yeah, she spends part two with just one eye. She has an eye patch on because there's a fight scene where her eye gets ripped off by a snake.
And her code name was California Mountain Snake. I would not, I think, not want a bath or a sponge bath from that nurse.
Yes, well, she's meant to be the evil character, very evil in this.
Why do we sometimes love the evil nurses, though? If you think about TV shows and movies over the years, another one that comes to mind is Nurse Jackie, the series was called Nurse Jackie.
I've heard of it, but I didn't watch any episodes.
I've probably seen four seasons.
Oh, is it only four seasons?
I got a bit sick of it, but the story is around this drug addicted, high functioning. I think she's an ER nurse or a nurse, and her life's kind of fallen to bits, but she's holding it together. Mm. And yeah, it's
do
really...
Do you think it's based on a real story?
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah.
I certainly hope not. Responsible position and being on her opioids or whatever was going on for her. She used to go swimming in the morning and they'd hand her a towel and some tablets. Oh. And I'm like, oh my
God. What do you think about bad nurses, like, sexy bad?
That's a theme too. Why do people dress up as nurses?
I don't know. I think it's the
short skirt of the 70s.
Around someone looking after you. People enjoy that either giving care or receiving care.
And it's not gendered? It's not a motherly, it's probably not.
It's gendered. I don't know. All the Halloween costumes are slutty nurses.
Yes. Mm. But then men love...
Where are the slutty scrubs?
Or orderlies.
Yeah, I mean, no one really wears those outfits.
Orthopedic. You don't see a slutty orthopedic surgeon.
Sketches. Slutty sketches.
Snuggle up to Annie and Ando every weekday morning on Joy.
Today we are celebrating nurses and we are about to chat to somebody who comes with great recommendations from nurse Georgie Carroll herself. This is a 23-year-old student nurse, almost graduated from Flinders University in South Australia, and he's been transitioning since the age of 15 and here to talk all about what it's like to want to work with the trans community but also be within it themselves. It is the wonderful Drew.
Good morning.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So Georgie's been in nursing and comedy for a number of years. Drew, you're in your final semester or final year of uni?
Second year, almost getting there. Yep.
What's it like to study?
It is hectic. It is. Being a nurse is a brand new world that you couldn't even dream or imagine unless you've been involved with hospitals quite an early age. But being thrust into such a moving, fast-paced community is quite an eye-opener. However, being able to help people to really get them from a bad place to a better place is one of the most rewarding things you could do.
So are you practicing on real people or are you still got oranges with needles that you're like injecting?
We have been a student right now. A lot of our work at the moment is textbook theory and all that. But when we come out to placement, done about 12 to 15 weeks of placement already, that's where you're getting the real nitty gritty stuff, real life, like just hits you in the face, you know. The first placement is also such a steep learning curve as well. After you get into the routine, you start to know how it all kind of works out. It really couldn't be such a perfect environment for me as someone who likes to meet other people, get to hear other people's stories, and also be able to help them as well. Being a student right now is a lot of me, but when I graduate, definitely going to chuck myself straight into full-time nursing work.
Amazing. What led you to considering that career in the first place?
It gets really deep because I like to think of it as the reason for my life, for being alive on the earth right now, is to help other people. I don't find any more satisfaction than I do with helping other people, knowing that I've helped them move from a bad place to a better place, helping them feel better, helping them just be more of themselves. That is an amazing feeling that I can't chase enough of.
Is there somebody that comes to mind when you think inspirational people?
Really, it's kind of hard to identify, you know, to be inspired by someone when I don't see a lot of recognition of trans people. I don't know another trans nurse. I don't know another hearing impaired nurse, you know. So it's hard to find inspiration from people who haven't gone through the same experiences as you have. Yeah. So I feel it's a very lonely kind of journey going into this for the first time, but I hope that, you know, in future I can be that person that people look up to. I can be that person that people know. It's like, oh, they're a nurse and they're also trans and disabled. Like, I want to be that because I don't really have that for myself.
Yeah. Mm. And you raise an interesting point. A lot of trans friends of the show talk about their reliance and need of medical support in their transition, and yet the experience or the lack of experience or understanding in the medical fraternity of any trans representation. Is that your experience as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's not a lot of representation. And because of that lack of representation, a lot of health professionals don't know what to do when they have a trans patient. And then that runs the risk of potentially making mistakes, like misgendering someone or potentially giving them the wrong treatment that doesn't suit them. So, yeah, being able to be given this opportunity to speak with you guys and to hopefully have other people listen in, I really hope that some people take that key information and really start recognizing trans voices, especially when it comes to trans patients and other gender diverse people that access health communities.
I find it so interesting that you're still drawn to wanting to work in a hospital because you must have spent a long time in them. You've had chest surgery already, plus you must have been diagnosed young as a child if you're hearing impaired. What was it like? Did you have a positive experience? Did that shape you?
I did. Every time I've gone to the hospital, especially a lot, like you said, for being hearing impaired, I used to frequent a lot of audiological units and speech pathology and all that. Having top surgery, Dr. Katsuras and SA, that was brilliant, but he already has a system of performing surgery on trans people anyway. So his community and healthcare centre, they knew they were up to date with pronouns and being respectful and all that. So that was a great opportunity.
Yeah.
But with my placement so far, with places that don't have many LGBT identifying people, they really don't know what to do. They don't really have a great system of support set up for them, which is why I personally want to start this system of support, start caring for those who identify as minorities, and to really make sure that they are given the care that they need and deserve.
Beautiful. So am I right in hearing, Drew, that you'd rather work in mainstream hospital than actually mm-hmm. a service that specialises in trans or supports trans patients?
Yeah, no, I definitely, a hospital just is what gets me going. I really like hospital environment. They're quite scary. Scary to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that's why I kind of want to bring this representation to hospitals and to really keep my eye out and help those that, you know, not only are they worried that they're not going to be treated right, or, you know, they're worried that uneducated health professionals are going to have a bad impact on them. Instead, I want to come in and make sure that whilst it is a scary experience whenever you go to a hospital, that it doesn't have to be that bad.
It sounds like the future is in great hands. I would be so happy to walk into a hospital and see your smiling face.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot, nurses.
That's beautiful. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning. It's been a real pleasure and a privilege on our part. I do want to say, when you graduate, Annie and I love attending functions. If you're looking for a couple of MCs or even just someone to party with afterwards, we're available if we're allowed in your state.
Yeah.
That sounds brilliant. You know what? Thank you so much for giving me this platform to speak about. I really hope that the listeners here are engaged and really enjoy this conversation.
Oh, they sure
and
are.
I'm available anytime.
Absolutely.
So if people wanted to reach you, how could they?
My Instagram account is at prettyboydrewprice, and I have my email is drewprice6@gmail.com.
Oh, wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Up early, Annie and Ando are up with you too. 6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
13 minutes to 7 on the 24th. I was like, what am I going to say there? 24th of September, 9 degrees with a forecast top of 15. Good morning, Anna Murphy.
Good morning, you two
good
lovely
morning.
People.
Hopefully you've got your vocal warm-ups done. Well, somebody hasn't.
I thought he was just doing that because I'm here.
Yeah, let's make everyone nervous.
We all know that I have trouble connecting my mouth to what's trying to come out. See?
I was thinking it was more hot. As soon as Anna Murphy walks in the room.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Been a while since we've had this sting.
Sadly, I only think of Channing Tatum when I hear that.
You were talking about him yesterday.
Oh, I talk about him a lot.
A bit obsessed.
Yeah. And Tom Hardy as well.
Who's Tom Hardy?
He's going to be the new James Bond. Where have you been?
Oh, yes, of course, of course. And I was just saying he thinks Skyfall is the greatest Bond movie of all time. For no reason, just telling me these things.
I think it is actually as well. I love James Bond movies.
Yeah, I love them too. I think Casino Royale. I've got a soft spot for the heist movies.
Yeah, okay.
There's a few scenes that it goes on too long, but can we back it up while you were picking on me?
Well,
you were saying that I didn't even know who someone was. Speaking of not knowing who someone was, I only found out yesterday about Dan Drew's interpreter dude.
I know. Well, yeah.
From
he
Dean Murphy.
No,
I was
idea.
Dean Murphy and Annie Louie.
Yes. Yeah,
telling me about this man. I went home and Googled.
Yes,
the fabulous Auslan Al, as they call it.
He's you're welcome. We like to inform.
Have you got any clearer picks? I could only get small stuff.
I do have one. I can share it with you later.
Thanks. Hey, what's coming up on your show?
Also, I want to say I heard you talking about Nurse Jackie before. I went back and revisited the whole series at the beginning of the year. Edie Falcon, amazing. But it did get a little long in the tooth. Yep, and very, and based on true people. Anyway.
Is it really?
Yeah, thank you.
It is. She interviewed heaps of people. High-functioning opioid addicts. Yes, very. It's fascinating, but it does get a bit long in the tooth. A bit like what I'm trying to do right now. So it's Thump Day, of course. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We're actually going to tap in. We want to check in with Melania Trump because only a few weeks out from the big
dramatic
election. Yeah, so we want to hear her take on what's going on, of course. Our Tim Little is going to be joining us, our Rainbow Rover. He's got some information about people who are expats living overseas, what they've done during the coronavirus to survive. And also we're going to go to the movies with Alistair.
Was it a good one last week that you did?
Look, I watched it at the last movie club. We had two, okay? So the one on pay, like a streaming service that you pay for, was Last Holiday.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of it.
No. That's okay. I'm going to talk about it later. And then there was one on YouTube, which was called This Is Paris. That's Paris Hilton.
Oh,
fascinating.
Yes. I need to watch that.
Fascinating.
That's clever, so that anyone with internet access can watch. That's really clever.
Yeah, because we were only doing streaming at one stage and then somebody said to us, hey, how about the ones that don't want to pay? And so we went, do you know
what
you asked? We're answering. Thanks.
Great show,
Thank
Hannah
you
Murphy.
So much.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. It's Addie and Ando every morning on Joy.
Oh, 5 minutes to seven.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was Delta Goodrum's latest
brand
track.
New one.
I don't
solid
know.
Gold.
I need to hear it a few more times. That
solid
gold. I think it's what, you know, coming into summer, a lot of artists release songs that sound like they'd be good for festivals. I heard a little bit of that. There's like that banging kind of like, you know, the arms summer, up yeah, in the air.
Like you just don't care, holding the ceiling up. Doof, doof, doof.
Don't try
doof
to be cool. It doesn't suit you.
Right. So much for that. Hey, we've had I've had fun today talking about nursing, a career that I didn't know a lot about, and such a range from someone really experienced and been in the industry and a comedian, Georgie Carroll.
But still lifting up newbies and promoting up, them.
Oh, she's got a podcast.
The Swab. I'm going to listen.
It's not a great title, but I do. if it's half as funny as catching up with her is, yeah, it will be amazing.
I could have done the whole show in a Manchester accent.
I was worried you were going to.
At the end, I think when I was editing, listening back, I could hear that I started picking up a bit of the tones.
Yes, like Danny Minogue when she moved to
London.
I know,
London. I'm like that. I just
not even
I'm
out of the airport and got an English accent. Yeah. Make sure you stick around for the Murphys. We're back with you tomorrow. Tomorrow's topic, we're talking about clothing trends of the past.
Ye oldie clothing trends.
Yes, like a corset.
Yeah, corsets, but they're back. Kim K loves a corset.
No corsets here. Stick around. You're with Annie and Ando.
Missed the show? Get the best bits of Annie and Ando on the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.